I have a little something that I want to put before you. It's our questionnaire that we send to churches that we are not familiar with. If we're going to change a letter for membership or have fellowship and interaction with. And so our questionnaire, we updated here a few years ago. It hadn't been long. The questionnaire is to find out where church stands in doctrine and in practice. Now, there's some want to put morality in there. We don't need morality. If they're sound in doctrine and practice, you can conclude that they're moral. Besides that, the Lord will take care of the morality question. But anyway, what I would like for us to do, if the church sees fit, the first question, lineage is coming up frequently. Lineage is important. If you don't have lineage, you don't have a church. Okay, so where a church came from is important. So the first question that we have is, when and by what authority was your church organized? All right, then I want to add, or I think it would be good for us to add, if possible, show as many churches in your lineage as you can. That way we won't have to just depend on one, but we can have several and establish basically a lineage for that church. What do you think, Brother Dale? Right. All right, motion and second. What'd you say, Brother Ronnie? You second? All right, any question or discussion? If not, all in favor? And it shall be done. All right, if you'd like, turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. First Samuel chapter 15 and verse number 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. What's the importance and significance of that? Because in the law, the Bible says to the nation of Israel, to the Hebrew people, suffer not a witch to live. Now that tells you how seriously wrong and how against God that witchcraft really is. Okay? For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Shows you how bad rebellion is. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Of course, this is to Saul, Israel's first king. And then look at verse 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter still yet, and begin with verse number 1. The Bible says, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. And now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now, verse 3 says, go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both men and women, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. Today, we're living in a day and time when rebellion is rampant, and it's on every hand. Rebellion against authority, all kinds of authority. Rebellion against nations, demonstrations, riots, and rebelling against those in authority, police officers and others, and so forth. Anarchy is everywhere around us and in every nation. And law is broken down. There virtually, even in this country, is no law in some places, because man, in his rebellion against God, and him thinking like Saul, that he knows better than God. Now Saul, he was supposed to do exactly what God told him to do. No more, no less. And we ought to take this and apply it to the Word of God. When the Word of God presents something to us as children of God and members of a New Testament church, we're to carry that out exactly as God has laid it out, when it's accepted in context and rightly divided. To the letter of the law. We've had brethren at other churches that we used to fellowship with that accused us of being legalistic. That means to carry it out according to the Word of God, according to the law of God, and exactly as he set it forth. Saul thought, well, all of these animals and stuff. And by the way, he blamed it on the people. It wasn't the people, it was him. Okay, he's the one that was really, truly in rebellion. And so anyway, he was going to save all those animals and stuff. He's going to use them for sacrifices and use them for the Lord's work and so forth. That's like us stealing and saying, well, we're going to be a Robin Hood and we're going to give it to the poor. Just take it from the rich, give it. Listen, the Bible says, thou shalt not steal, even if it's of the rich or if it's of the poor. We're to obey God. Homes, children against parental authorities. We have young children in this country, in the East, that are forming gangs and going out and causing havoc throughout the community. And these are our under teenagers, many of them. What are they doing? They're rebelling against authority. They're rebelling against what is right. Ultimately, and in essence, all rebellion is against God. Just might as well mark it down. Man wants to do his own thing. Look at Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14 says, withhold not correction from the child. Mom and dad, don't ruin your child's life. I know you love them, but listen, if you love them, you'll raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the nurture and admonition of the Lord is, don't spare the rod, and don't spare it for their crying, but to correct and to discipline in a biblical manner. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Now that's not talking about a metal rod or something like that. It's talking about a switch, a small tree limb or tree fig, whatever you want to call it. And if you do that, it says he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shaft and deliver his soul from hell. Brother, what that boils down to is you'll beat the rebellion out of him. When a child finds out and learns that there's a severe consequence to pay and they're going to hurt, then it'll be a deterrent to them rebelling and doing the things that we're just talking about tonight. So, Proverbs 13:13-14 says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. We're not to rebel against God like the children of Israel did. Look at Isaiah, the third chapter. Isaiah chapter 3 and beginning with verse number 8. O Jerusalem, or for Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eye of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, women rule over them. Look at all the women governors and all the women in power and in authority and ruling over today. That's why our world is in the mess that it's in. God's order was established. He expects us to maintain it. And when we don't, we're like Saul. We're in rebellion against God because we're not obeying his word. You say, well, the word of God is for his people. It's for church. Listen, it's for mankind. Women rule over them. Oh, my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. Satan, rebellion originated with him. In Isaiah, the 14th chapter, beginning with verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Lucifer, the most beautiful of God's angels, created perfect, was the first to rebel against God. As a matter of fact, he was the first to bring sin and corruption into creation. Because that's how the church, how the earth became without form and void. Wasn't created that way, but it became that way. And the angels sinned. Look at 2 Peter 2 and verse number 4. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Then in Jude 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Rebellion against God. It didn't pay for the angels who originated it. It doesn't pay for mankind. It definitely doesn't pay for God's people. Adam and Eve, God said, "Thou shalt surely die." Instead of taking his word for it, they took the devil's word in the form of the serpent when he beguiled Eve and brought them into the same rebellion that Lucifer originated. Delinquency, children, rebellious sons. Look at Deuteronomy 21, verse 18 to 21. If man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, "This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." So, that shows us that God takes rebellion serious. He takes rebellion of children serious. And he tells us how serious that we ought to be with our children in correcting and disciplining those children, in breaking their stubborn, rebellious will. But listen, also, when you do that and break their stubborn, rebellious will, then you find time and a place that you can show love and affection and concern, and you can show them the respect of as being a human being. And when they truly repent, let them know how much you love them and appreciate them for doing it. And one day they'll grow up, and they'll tell you, parent, how much they love you and appreciate you for it. It may take them a few years, but they'll get there. And like our president keeps saying, stay with it. Keep on keeping on. Keep doing it. Be consistent. Rebellion is hesitating to do what the Word of God says to do. What people rebel against today, the call of the Holy Spirit. You do always resist the Spirit, the Bible says. The call of God to faithful service in and through a New Testament church, and living a moral and upright life like Christ set the example, the way he lived his life. And then stewardship. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." God promised an abundance of return for that which we would sacrifice and give for him. And the manner in which we go about it, 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, lays it out. He loves a cheerful giver. He wants us to give it willingly. He doesn't want us to do it because we have to. So the manner in which we give, the amount doesn't matter. The manner in which we give is what really matters and is the key of him accepting it and of being obedient to God. Second Timothy 4, 3 and 4. Rebellion is rebellion against the Bible. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, the Bible says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Rebellion is rebellion against the Bible, against the Word of God. And anything that's against the Word of God is against God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the God of heaven, the triune God, the Godhead. The reason that God hates rebellion, man's rebellion separated him from God, broke their fellowship. God's greatest joy was walking into the garden and there having fellowship with Adam and Eve. For that was the purpose for which they were created. They were created for his pleasure, to please him. And he gave them a paradise and provided their every need and only asked them to be faithful to him. But they couldn't even do it in one area, and that's the forbidden fruit. Man's rebellion nailed Jesus to the cross. Man's rebellion sends souls to hell. Man's rebellion hinders the church. Man's rebellion hinders any revival, spiritual revival. And brethren, in this day and time, spiritual revivals are few, are rare. Look at our churches. How many of them have revival services anymore? How many of them have revival meetings anymore? And when we have them, we're so set in our ways that what do? We complain because there's extra services. We complain because the preacher doesn't preach this way or he doesn't preach that way. He doesn't stand this way or that way. We complain because there's no spirituality in the services. You know what causes that? Our complaining. People rebel because of lack of love. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's a lack of love for our country. Look at 1 Peter 2, verses 15 through 17. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. No honor for anybody or anything anymore. There's no patriotism, there's no dedication, there's no respect for anyone in this old world today. What's the root of it? I'm persuaded the root of it is that we think more highly of ourselves than we do anybody else, and so how we think and how we feel in our opinion, that's what rules. Brother, that's rebellion against God. That's saying that our opinion is better and more worthwhile than God's is. So, rebellion, the root of it is lack of love. And he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's a lack of love for our country, a lack of love for our home. Look at Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Then Ephesians 6, verse 2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise of what? Promise of long life. Honor your father and mother. It didn't say honor them if they're good to you, in your opinion. It didn't say if they treat you really nice. It didn't say, listen, if your father, who is a sinner, and we're all that, none perfect, not going to be perfect, there's no perfect fathers. There's no perfect mothers. But God said, honor them. Honor them because of who they are. Honor them because of what they are. Oh, I feel sorry for me because I was so mistreated when I was a kid. You aren't today. And most of the mistreatment we receive today, we bring on ourselves. We can't blame those that were before us. It's what we do with today that's really important. And the thing that we need to do today is love the Lord and obey His commandments. That'll cure a world of hurt and a world of guilt. So then we need to honor the church. What? We're to love one another as Christ loved us, and by that they'll know we're His disciples, the Bible says. You know why our witness is not as good as it should be, or maybe as our forefathers used to be? In addition to us not really praising the Lord and presenting Him as we go and preaching the word, the example that we don't set that's against what God would have us to set, having our way, following our opinion, how we think and how we feel, letting what other people, how other people treat us, dictate as to how we're going to be and what we're going to be, that's the devil's workshop. Let God's word dictate who we're going to be and how we're going to be. Let Him dictate. And don't have your own opinion, but stay in the word and let that form your opinion. That's exactly what we need to do. Sinners must keep His commandment. Lost sinners must keep His commandment. And that commandment is to repent of your sins and by faith trust Jesus as your Savior. We need to respect the Lord's church, who has preserved and upheld His word, for it is the pillar and ground of the truth. And we need to respect the church by not forsaking assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but much more as you see the day approaching. As you stand, please. We're going to have an invitation. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you need to acknowledge the fact within you and to Him that you are a sinner. You need to acknowledge the fact that there's no works that you can do. There's no good deeds that you can do. There's nothing that you can offer God that will make you saved or eternally blessed. Everything depends on what He has done and you trusting in that. The Bible